Hello, my name is Kyle.
My name is Casey.
We're hosts of a podcast called Previewed, and this is Previewed, and we're going to talk about a movie called Irresistible.
Simply Irresistible.
It's simply irresistible. Is that how that song goes?
Yeah. I thought I was going to hear that in this trailer, but
I did not. Too. Spoilers. No, I'm surprised we didn't hear it.
Spoilers, it doesn't show up.
Never shows up. Yeah. I want to tell you about this movie trailer.
Yeah, if you would be so kind as to break down everything that happens.
It's coming out really soon, like in 2 weeks. So yeah. let's talk about what happens in the trailer. First
okay,
off,
go for it.
It pops off. Writer-director Jon Stewart. That's like kind of the main feature of this trailer. They say that twice.
I know that
guy. At the beginning and once at the end. Yeah. from that show, The Daily Show.
Uh-huh.
And Half-Baked. That's really all I can picture him in is Half-Baked. Yeah, he's the guy who talks about the looking at like a $5 bill or whatever dollar bill.
Oh, I think of him as the guy in Big Daddy as an actor.
Oh, yeah. He's
his roommate.
The mid-90s, he kind of had a big thing going with those comedy movies.
Actor, and now comic kind of guy.
He doesn't do anything. Well, he wrote a movie and he's directing it, I guess.
Yeah, right.
So anyways, Steve Carell, I don't know if they say his character's name, but Steve Carell is on the hunt to find the perfect Democratic candidate to flip rural Wisconsin. He shows his campaign team, I guess. I don't really understand what this team is. They're just kind of all sitting around looking for someone to back. I don't know if that's how this works, but he shows them a viral video of a Marine in Wisconsin, this retired old dude standing up for immigrants. Ooh. We don't see a lot of conservatives or Marines standing up for immigrants. It's usually the other way around. It's Colonel Jack Hastings, and Steve Carell is so jazzed. He says, hey, we got to go down to Deerlocken. That's the town that this guy's from.
Mm-hmm.
And try and convince Colonel Jack to run for mayor of this small town in Wisconsin, rural Wisconsin. He's going to try and flip it from red to blue. As the campaign, he convinces Colonel Jack to run for mayor, and as the campaign gains momentum, it also gains the attention of the National Republican Party and the attention of Steve's conservative campaign rival, some girl. I don't know if they say her name. And they're both in this small town trying to win over the small town's political leanings. And it's all about who will raise more money, who will outsmart the other campaign, and who will win the vote. The Democrats or the Republicans, baby. It's the left pitted against the right, and it's a small town with a Marine caught in the middle. It's irresistible, baby.
It's irresistible. To answer your question, it's Gary Zimmer, Steve's
name. Oh, Gary Zimmer.
And Faith.
They don't say it in the trailer,
do they? Think so.
And then that's what
Faith
I thought.
Brewster.
Faith Brewster.
Yeah, straight
punky
from the
Brewster.
Those names can only come from the mind of Jon Stewart.
Yeah, that's true. They're two Punky Brewster and Gary, what was his name, who was in that show? Two like late 80s TV stars.
Yeah. Hey, can I jump in real quick with
It's
one of our most classic segments, Kyle.
Yeah, let's kick it off. Let's get into it.
What? Why? What? This movie's called Irresistible? What is that?
Dude, that was what mine was, too.
Okay, you don't have an answer for me.
No, because what's irresistible? There's like no romance really going on. That's like what I think of when I think of irresistible, or like food.
Yeah.
Or is it like the politics are find like certain people irresistible, and they're drawn to these like outliers that they want to politicize?
I don't know. And my first thought is that because it's a Jon Stewart thing, it's some like high level sort of pun or something that I will never understand. And maybe that's, I don't get it. What is it? What is irresistible?
Yeah, I felt the same way because I also, and this is skipping ahead too to like our previewed predictions, I have no clue what this is about, but I had the same feeling that was like, I know Jon Stewart's smart and he thinks things out really well. So this must have an interesting point or like it must be a good movie because he's smart and a good writer, I'm assuming. He's been on that Daily Show forever and understands politics. Yeah. But I don't understand what the point is going to be and what Irresistible, how that ties in. There's like no hints in the trailer at all.
There's no hints. You know what? I guess I kind of like that.
I do too. I think this one kind of rode the line. I think I'm going to see it. I don't know if I can give this trailer a rating because it's so odd.
Uh-huh.
But the things that I found the most interesting were like his fish out of water in this small town, like this left-leaning DC guy trying to talk to rural, real people. I mean, real in the sense of like, however real John Stewart can get writing rural Wisconsinites. Yep. But that seemed really interesting. And I kind of like got off board when they introduced Rose Byrne's, what was her name? Punky Brewster.
Punky Brewster.
When they introduced Punky Brewster, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm into that as much as I am just like trying to see someone struggle to politicize someone who's not political.
Yes. I was surprised to see the tone of this movie because I didn't see Rosewater, his other one that he directed in 2014.
Oh, I've never even heard of it. No.
Oh, he directed that. It's about, it stars the guy from, it stars, the guy from, you know, like, hold on. The guy from like, Itumama Tambien and the Moisés Diaries.
Yeah, it's like the South American guy.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's from or what his name is, but
Mozart,
he's got those,
in the jungle or whatever.
Piercing eyes, right?
Yes.
Is that the
guy?
Yeah,
he's beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful boy.
Yes.
He's a beautiful boy. It's like a heavy, the other movie that he directed. I didn't see it, but I know that. So to see like this kind of like slapsticky comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a bunch of bits that I thought really worked for this trailer.
Yeah, I liked the bits. It did feel a little like they were paying off the biggest jokes. Yeah. Like I feel like maybe when we actually see it, it's like, oh, that's really the only funny parts. Because a lot of it seems like, I don't know where the comedy will be because it's very broad. Like it's not
it's so broad, witty
or quick. The jokes were like getting licked on the face unexpectedly.
Yes.
And
I was on board 100%, and then I had a second wait, when she licks his face, because that's as confusing as the title. I don't, is that a thing?
Well, I feel like maybe they're ex-lovers or something, or they used to be married and they're, you know what I mean?
Oh,
that's kind of where
it felt
like maybe they were going.
Yeah.
But if it's not, whoa, sexual harassment, like crazy.
But that
in
turned
this
it.
Era?
It, yeah. Right. Absolutely. It felt to me like a comedy in a type of world that I wanted to be in. Like it was like a really like just a light kind of political, like light political comedy with my favorite dude in there.
Yeah.
And then she does that and it's like, what? It was like more bonkers than like Parks and Recreation. Like I couldn't help but think of the whole, like campaign season of Parks and Rec.
Right. Yeah. It seems way more even light than Parks and Rec. And like, I'm just thinking of like Election and some of those other sort of comedies that are kind of in the same, this seems so much even lighter than that.
Yeah. And I love Rose Byrne and I think she's really funny, but I don't know. I'm so curious to see if she actually fits in the whole movie. Cause at least in the trailer, it seems like she's like really overdoing it. She's a parody of herself.
She is overdoing it. I know what you mean. It is
okay. So
it's
you
really
don't have
over the top.
Yeah, you don't have a trailer rating.
No, I feel like too. Maybe we should move our trailer rating segment to be about what we're gonna do with the movie.
Mm.
Like we kind of had that planned when we first started. Like we would say, like, do we rent it? Do we go to the theater?
Yeah.
Which I feel like says more than us just giving it a number.
Yeah, sure. That's true.
Can we go back on that?
We can absolutely.
On
but
episode,
just for the sake of
episode
it,
we're on?
Yeah. Can I? Since I prepared it, can I just say mine?
No, I think. No, I'm just gonna yuck over it.
I give it 4.5. Christopher Topher Grace Graces.
That's so. When you were talking about the lightness, I was just imagining that scene in the early on, Topher Grace, he like makes some quip at Topher Grace and he just makes some dumb sort of like office-y joke. And I don't mean office like the office, but just like something, if you were in a group of people collaborating on something at work,
yeah,
the kind of joke that would fly in real life. Like, it wasn't really that funny at all.
I love that bit. He shows him the video and everyone goes, nice. And he's like, are you kidding me? That's the best you can do for this,
yeah,
for this guy. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah, it's really nice. I was like laughing at that. I thought it was,
yeah,
great.
Like they were just trying to humor him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not really that clever or funny. I like that about it. And I like that Topher Grace is the person that's like, it could have just been any old extra or like some newbie actor. And they have Topher Grace being that character.
Yeah. What's your take on Topher?
I love Topher.
You love Topher?
Everything I've heard about him personally is that he's a terrible person.
Really?
Yeah, but just like from rumors online and stories from like that 70s show and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I feel like I would be friends with him in real life. He seems like a cool, funny guy.
Yeah. I can't get...
I don't know why. He's like not a very good actor, honestly. He's just like, seems like a dude.
Mm-hmm. He always lives in my mind as his That 70s Show character with the hair and everything. Like, and when I see actual Topher, like in this movie, I think that he's in costume then.
Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah, he's Eric from That 70s Show is playing this guy.
Yes. It really takes me out of it.
And, that too.
It was the worst part of, I rewatched Interstellar the other day, and it was the worst part of that.
Wait, when is he in Interstellar?
He's like a doctor at the space camp, and he comes to...
At the very end?
Oh,
you mean the underground space camp?
Yes. Like when Murphy's grown up, he's like hanging out with her, comes back to their house, and is treating like her nephew.
Yeah.
He's like, you guys all have to get out of here now.
You know what movie I feel like you would... Have you seen American Ultra?
Is that the Jesse Eisenberg one?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
You should watch that. That sort of changed my feeling. He plays a villain and he's really good at it.
Okay.
Kind of like a... Not a like evil villain, but like a snarky...
Yeah. He famously...
That sort of changed my opinion on him.
Okay. He famously has a Phantom Menace cut. Have you seen that?
I have seen it. Yeah, I watched it.
Is it good?
I mean, no. That movie, it's just a bad movie. It's better than the original, but...
Uh-huh. Is it really short?
I wasn't like, wow. It's a normal movie length. I think it's 90 minutes.
What? How did he pad it out?
Well, isn't it...
I thought he just cut out all the dumb shit.
Yeah, he did. And it's still like 90 minutes.
Oh, okay. I see. Right, because the original one is like 3 hours or 2.5 or something.
It's too long. He cuts out all the politics stuff that sets up the second one, which then doesn't really pay it off.
Yeah.
It's like those movies, they have all that politics stuff to set up Palpatine.
Uh-huh.
But you don't need all that.
You can just
be like, hey, this dude kind of stole his way into this thing.
My take on the prequels is that they're not very good because they're mostly about politics.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I feel like they kind of hobbited it.
That's the
before The Hobbit. Like, it should have probably just been one really solid movie about Anakin, and instead it's three.
Yeah. There's a lot of issues with it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'm oversimplifying it.
No, you're right. I believe you. I believe in you.
I believe in me, too.
Should we get back to...
Oh, yeah, let's get back
give me your rating for this trailer.
I'll probably watch it right away because it's coming out on VOD along with theaters. And I feel like I'd watch this at home on Rent It.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
I don't think I'd go see it in a theater, though. Would you?
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Was that Fred, your baby, crying? We better take a break so you can go take care of that. We'll be right back. Casey, we're back from our break. We had a really long break.
And you know what? I really needed it, man. I needed to energize a little bit, get my energy levels up to amber, close to amber level.
Amber alert?
No, like amber being the color of my energy.
Oh, what was it at?
It was more like a chartreuse or, you know,
that's
actually,
green. Is that green?
If I'm really being honest with myself and honest with you and honest with the listener, it was like a little more mauve.
Ooh. You know that what that reminds me of? You ever listen to Ken Nordine?
No.
Oh, no, you, nor should you have. I don't know why I asked you. Like, you would be like, you know this famous guy? He's like this jazz poem dude, and he did a whole album about colors.
Like slam poetry? Or like spoken word?
Spoken word, but it's very silly.
Oh, okay.
But it's like from the 60s or the 70s, so it feels serious. It's not like a joke.
Oh, he's not goofing, but when you hear it today, it sounds like a goof.
Yeah, we should. I'll send you a link. It's
please.
Great.
James Nordine?
Ken.
Sorry, pardon me.
No, I'm losing my voice.
Casey. Yeah, yes.
Irresistible.
Simply what irresistible.
What will you go see this, do you think? Where do you put this on your rating? Will you go? Will you buy it? Will you never see it?
If it's easily accessible to me and my streaming services, I will absolutely watch this. I'm very, very intrigued to see this movie, especially because I'm going on a bit of a roller coaster with Steve Carell. I've been going on one ever since like the late days, the late seasons of The Office.
You mean his career has been a roller coaster?
And just my perception of him.
Oh, it started high or low?
Well, I know that I was kind of analyzing and looking at his IMDb ever since then, because in my mind, it's like he's kind of gone away, or he's like kind of morphed into some other version of himself that I didn't really recognize. Because for my money, Kyle, me, Casey,
I'm listening.
Michael Scott is maybe the greatest character of all time.
Yeah,
I think
in anything, TV and movies,
anything.
He's the best.
Yeah, and I've rewatched seasons of The Office over and over and over. He gets funnier and more. He's just like more and more on fire every time I see it. I just think what he did on that show is just like it's truly unbelievable.
Yeah, I feel like you see something amazing the first time, you're like, oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
And then you walk away from it, you go see some other stuff, and then you watch it over again, and you go, oh, wait a minute, this is amazing all time. Like, there's no way to, you do have to kind of like go back through and watch it again after taking some time from it.
Yeah. I mean, mine is.
Because it really, it's a good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Even though he is incredible for the first season and a half, like ever.
Yeah.
From season 1.2 and on, or 1.5 and on, it's like the most consistent, just mesmerizing performance ever. So, okay, that's the most obvious thing to say. But for me, I was just like, he did some movies after that, and he kind of like changed his look. He like had like gray hair and a beard, and wore glasses and stuff, and he popped up and, you know, he did some major stuff. But now I feel like he's kind of a little, he's like, he did a smart thing. He kind of didn't want to like take on huge lead things for a while, I think, because everyone knew him as Michael Scott. But now he's back with that Space Force show and that Apple show about the
He has two big shows,
morning show, and I don't know, maybe he's in some movies and stuff, but I feel like he's kind of come back in a big way. And then there's this movie, and it feels like the Steve Carell that I know, and I'm curious to see if he can carry this movie the way he even close to the way he carried The Office.
Yeah.
You know?
I hope so. Yeah. I think I'll probably wait till it's rentable price.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe not be, it just doesn't seem smart enough that I would pay full price.
Sure.
It also feels a little outdated. Like the politics part of like going to flip a little bit more conservative type of like farm person to be a little bit more of a Democratic candidate feels like something like that would come out during like Clinton's administration.
Right.
Like the type of political landscape that we have right now, I don't think this would even be it's so divisive.
Right.
Like what was that crazy congresswoman that we had? Michelle Bachmann. Like that's the kind of like people that are out in like rural Wisconsin.
Yes.
It's not this like old hunky.
Right.
Maybe a little left-leaning dude.
Yeah, it is. That's a good point. I wonder when he conceived of the idea of this movie.
Yeah.
Because the climate of just like the country is so different. This seems like a retro idea of just these like two sides just sort of like playfully fighting each other.
Yeah. And it sort of reminded me of like the Anchorman, like some of the like him versus her stuff
felt
like the sort of competition that Ron Burgundy has with I don't remember what her character's name is, Christina Applegate's character.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It feels a little outdated.
It feels a little outdated. I loved some of the bits. I like that bit at the end when he's getting into her camera. He walks over into her camera to confront her about lying.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think maybe a lot of it too is maybe just about the media and how it's portrayed, because that's like such a like funny way to show like they're actually standing right next to each other. The world isn't quite that big.
Yes.
We're faking a lot. We're
faking it, yeah. Hey, I have a part two.
Oh, let's hear it.
Wait, what? Is he like going to be romantically involved with the daughter?
Oh, yeah, that is kind of going on.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either. Also, it just sort of feels like I don't want that either.
No, definitely not.
I think when I think of like this movie, I want it to be like really thoughtful and kind of hard to watch. Like I need to watch it twice because there's so much information, and it doesn't seem like it's like that at all.
Yeah. Like it's pretty breezy.
Yeah. It seems a little too breezy.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially for like, what's his name? John Stewart. Mm-hmm. His flavor of like a personality is like pretty intense.
Yes.
And he like has a pretty hard, not hard, but like loud point of view. Mm-hmm. And this didn't really feel like it had that in it at all.
Well, I mean, maybe I guess it kind of makes sense that, you know, The Daily Show is like a comedy show.
Yeah.
And he had his one heavy movie. Now he's just like swinging over to the light movie. Maybe the next one will be right down the middle.
Let's hope.
Well, one thing's for sure, this trailer is irresistible.
Do you want to talk about our top five political movies?
I'd love to.
I think you already kind of got into the winner of this trailer, which is Steve. It's like I think the main draw is Steve Carell.
Steve Carell, funny again.
Yeah, he's funny again. He's maybe back in his prime or having a second resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
Second wave.
Yep.
What are we calling the COVID crisis part two?
Oh, the second wave? We're calling it... I don't know, Kyle.
I thought... Is anyone calling it a second something?
Oh.
Second?
Is it not wave?
Maybe it's wave.
Resurgence?
We're having a second wave of COVID and of Steve.
And of Steve.
In the fall.
Yep.
I think... we should go... Take another quick break, and we'll talk about our top fives when we get back. We'll be right back with more. Hey, Casey, we're back again.
Oh, so good to be back with you, Kyle.
Such a long break, another long one.
I know. Hey,
people don't know this, but we record this podcast every week. We do one part, and when we take a break, we take a week off.
Mm-hmm. We come back. We will live a week's worth of life.
Yep.
So that we can better inform, you know, each segment of this very important podcast.
Yeah, get a perspective on ourselves,
yes,
on movies, on everything that's happening, and then we come back. And that's why we're so hot each time when we come in, and so funny.
Yeah.
And so ready for this.
And so keep in mind, everything I just said in the last segment about, you know, the movie being breezy and Steve Carell and all that stuff, that was me a week ago. I don't even like, I'm not even in touch with that guy anymore.
Yeah, you've done a lot of growing up. I think there's a lot of stuff on like my social media talking about learning every day and trying to wake up. And that's what you were doing last week.
Exactly. You nailed it, man. Hey,
what's your top five
Yeah, I've compiled a list of my top five political movies.
Yeah.
Which I thought this was going to be easier, but there are a lot of political movies that I haven't seen even.
Yeah.
But I'm going to just go down my list. You ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
Coming in at number five is My Date with the President's Daughter. Have you ever seen this movie?
Never even heard
of it. It's a Disney movie with Eric Matthews from Boy Meets World.
Oh.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yes. It's this is ringing a bell now.
It's really stupid.
Imagine the cover.
It is not good, and it's okay. It's really stupid. But I just wanted to throw it in there because I remember watching it when I was in junior high. And that's all I have to say about that. And my number four is ID4, Independence Day. Not really a political movie, but the White House explodes. It gets blown up in that movie.
It totally explodes. And that speech by the president?
Yeah, the president's an action hero. It's sick.
It kind of like today, our current president.
Exactly like him. Yes. I love that movie. The rest of mine are more political. Okay?
Got it.
Number three, Black Sheep.
Ooh, I've only seen that movie once.
Really?
I feel like I need to go back and watch that.
It's not as good as Tommy Boy.
No.
But.
Is it as good as that other one that you mentioned a couple weeks ago? I forget what episode that was.
Almost Famous?
Almost Famous.
No, Almost Heroes. Wait. Yeah, Almost Heroes. Almost Famous is
almost
the Cameron Crowe movie.
This one is like Without a Paddle, the other one, right?
What?
Did you ever see that movie?
Is that the one with Seth Green and Dax?
And Dax and someone else.
Uh-huh.
They're like the same movie,
you're
right?
You're saying
Almost
that.
Heroes and...
Oh, maybe. Almost Heroes is like about settling. No, it's about exploring North America. It's like a time period one, which is funny. That one's not, it's not a great movie, but I love it so much. It's very important
to me. We should just rank,
what, Chris Farley movies?
Yeah.
There aren't that many.
I know.
That's the bummer.
So that's why I cut myself off.
Yeah. Black Sheep is good. Black Sheep has a few bits. Chris Farley's brother is running for mayor or something like that. And cool. So he's trying to help him on his campaign, but don't you know it? He screws everything up.
That's classic.
Yeah.
Classic Black Sheep.
Yeah. Okay. Number two, Election.
Ooh, good choice. Good choice. I just watched that for the first time. Like a month ago.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's one of Nicole's favorites.
Mm. Yeah.
I've never seen it.
It freaked.
It's good.
I was going to say it freaked me out when I first watched it as a kid. It didn't really freak me out, but it was like a... It was
probably too young.
Exposure to a different type of movie.
Yeah.
That I appreciate now.
It's so dry. What? It reminded me a lot of A Serious Man. Have you ever seen that?
No.
I was surprised at how much A Serious Man kind of lifted from...
Really?
From Election, yeah.
Chris Klein is so funny in it. Is that his name? Chris Klein?
Who's he play?
Oz Striker from, or is it Kevin Klein? Chris Klein is the.
You're thinking of Back to the Future, Calvin Klein.
Okay, there's Kevin Klein, the Oz from American Pie. You know what I'm talking about? The guy, okay, if you just watch Election, the jock, like the idiot.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. And he kind of plays that character in every other thing he's in. But in Election, it's like...
He's the best at it.
And it's almost like he's not playing it, but it fits perfectly for the movie.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I feel like he does get typecast. I'd like to see him not do that character. He's probably a great actor.
So, my number one stars the other Klein, and I'm not gonna chrome it. I'm just going off the dome, and I don't even know who's who, but it's Dave. Have you seen this movie?
The movie is called It's Dave?
No, the movie is called Dave.
I've never heard of it.
You never heard of Dave?
You're thinking of Dick.
No, it's a...
That other political movie with that one girl.
Oh my God, Kyle, you gotta watch Dave. It's from like 1993 or 1994. It's Sigourney Weaver is the first lady.
What?
And okay, I have to chrome this.
I just wrote down a note. Dave.
What's his name? Ivan Reitman directed it.
Who's that?
He directed Ghostbusters and
he's
like one of the best like 90s sort of like.
So is it in that vein? It's a 90s comedy, a late 80s comedy?
It's like sort of, I would compare the tone of it to like Miss Doubtfire.
Oh,
except a little bit more serious. Okay, hold on a second. Let me freaking chrome this, bro. Dave. Hold on.
I think you're making this up.
No. 1993. Let me just run this down for you. Kevin Kline. Are you familiar with Kevin Kline? The guy from Orange County. He's like the writer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's obsessive.
Yeah.
Okay. He plays the existing president, who is not a good president, and he's got all these mistresses.
Whoa.
And Kevin Kline plays another character named Dave, who's a lookalike, and the real president has a heart attack while he's having an affair. And so they bring in the lookalike to replace Dave for the time being. And he starts to, he's like a good guy. And so he starts to like change the country and actually like
does a good job.
This is like a story that gets reused all the time. You know what I mean?
Like I don't know.
Like you replace the corrupt leader with like a lookalike, like normal person who actually like starts doing some change. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't that like a, you know how like the Lion King is Hamlet? It's like that.
It's like how the Lion King is like Hamlet. I get it.
Okay. Anyways, I've talked way too long about Dave. Dave kicks ass. It's so good.
It reminds me of Weekend at Bernie's for some reason.
Ah.
Like this guy dies and then they try to keep the party going by like faking it.
Yeah.
And being like, no, this is good. This is legit.
This is legit.
The president's not dead. The party can still go on.
It's a snapshot of a time in America that I look fondly back on. I was, what, 8 years old? It was so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the golden age of American politics.
That's right.
Right after Reagan, we get two conservatives in there.
Mm-hmm.
Or was it 3 in a row? What was Nixon?
That, Kyle, I don't know. All I know is he's not a crook.
Wait, we had Nixon, and then we had, what's that other white dude's name? That old one. He's still alive.
The peanut farmer?
He was in there, too. Yeah, the peanut farmer. What was his name?
His name? I can't. Okay, people, if anyone actually listens to this, you have to understand, like, when I have these headphones on and I'm trying to talk into this mic, I can't remember a single thing.
Yeah, me too.
So the fact that I can't remember things
so
right
much
now,
of this podcast is us snapping in the air trying to figure out
yes.
where our brain is.
Yes. I honestly think these headphones, like, they give me like 55% my normal memory.
Yeah.
So I apologize. I can't remember the name of that president. I know he's a peanut farmer.
That's because you're on conservative blogs a lot talking about how he's so corrupt.
Yeah.
Damn peanut farmer.
So that's my top
five. I have
a
top five as well.
Can I please hear it?
Yes.
Okay.
I recently watched a new movie by our friend and former guest, Chad.
Yeah.
Recommendation of Citizen Ruth.
Oh.
Did he recommend that on Zardoz? I forget why we were talking about Citizen Ruth. Or maybe he just posted it on Facebook or something.
Maybe. Oh, well, we went on a lot of tangents where he recommended movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw Citizen Ruth. It's by the same guy who directed Election.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it more than I liked Election.
Who's
so
that?
I threw that up there.
Is that the sideways guy?
It's the sideways guy. I forget his name.
I don't remember anything.
I want to say it's David O. Russell, but it's not.
No, it's...
It's something like that.
Sideways guy. It's Nebraska guy. Sideways guy.
It's Nebraska guy. It's sideways guy. It's election guy.
Downsizing guy.
Downsizing guy.
That's all you need to know.
My number four was...
Payne.
A split.
Payne. Something Payne.
Alexander Payne. Alexander Payne. Yeah, you okay. Got it.
Your number four was what?
Is split.
Whoa.
It's a dock. Oh. Two docks that I split.
Oh, I thought you were saying the Unbreakable 2. Split.
No. Okay. No, split decision. I wanted to put a dock on there somewhere.
Okay.
And it was either between The Fog of War or Inconvenient Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Which, honestly, Inconvenient Truth, not a good movie.
No.
It just was so mind-blowing,
yeah.
All the information.
Right.
It was actually like a terrible documentary.
You think so?
Yeah.
Just I believe
as far
you.
As like,
I believe you. You're a filmmaker.
I'm just thinking of like other documentaries where they like follow one person and sort of do the like style of documentary where they just sort of film what happens.
Sure.
And like they capture it all.
Yeah, yeah.
This was like not that.
Right.
It was just a keynote. It was kind of a TED talk for like 90 minutes.
I feel like documentaries... Documentaries don't age well very often.
No.
I don't know
if that one ages well.
There's sort of like one format that is kind of like timeless, but trying to innovate in documentaries is a tough game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also have to kind of have a story that's like ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's just a kind of a news piece.
Right.
My number three features someone in this very film, Irresistible.
Okay.
The Big Short.
The Big Short. We're talking Steve Carell.
Steve Carell, baby.
That is a political movie, isn't it?
Yeah. It's about, I don't know, maybe it's more of an economic movie. They don't really talk about policy or presidents or anything. But it did collapse the United States economy.
Mm-hmm.
Which feels maybe like it's political.
Absolutely. Kyle, I think it belongs on this list 100%.
I didn't put, and I'm just not familiar with the era of films. I kind of like skip the 70s and 60s, but like Dog Day Afternoon and All the President's Men. Wait, that's an action movie, isn't it?
All the President's Men?
Yeah.
No, it's very slow and... It's just kind of like two guys writing a story.
Oh. Yeah. There's like a lot of those films I've never
seen.
Yeah.
Manchurian Candidate. Like I've never seen it.
I skipped that.
Yeah.
I have a lot of catching up to do. I just don't care about political history. So that stuff is boring to me.
I think it's boring to me on the surface. Like it's not going to catch my eye on I don't look at covers of DVDs or VHSs anymore, but. You know what I mean? Like that's not going to sell me. But once I get started on a classic movie like that, it's usually riveting. But it takes me kind of like just sitting down with someone else who's watching it.
Yeah.
To get there,
it's a hard pill to swallow.
Yes.
Yeah. But once you swallow it, ooh, it's so good.
Ooh, it's so good. But hey, man, you put freaking Iron Man on that cover. I'll sit down every time.
Wait, we're gonna watch Iron Man? What the heck? Political movie. You tricked me.
No, I'm saying. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Oh, you're saying like somebody would trick me.
Yeah.
By putting
Iron Man on the cover.
Yeah.
We're going to watch Iron Man again. Okay. Wait a minute.
I'll always watch Iron Man.
Which Iron Man, if you could only watch one Marvel movie, which Iron Man would it be?
Is this a real question?
Yeah,
so you're,
I guess it's if you could only watch one Marvel movie for the rest of your life.
That has Iron Man in it?
No, it can be any of them. I was just making a joke.
Oh. Shit, I don't know.
What about Iron Man? Which one would you keep?
Oh, one is so good. One is the best.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so good.
I like 3 a lot because it's so campy.
Me
and
too,
silly.
It's so weird.
But I like, 1 is just such a good... It's probably the best all-encompassing story, right?
Yeah.
Out of all of them?
Yeah. I'd say Guardians of the Galaxy might be.
Oh, sure.
That one's
great.
Like one of the other best standalone ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of older movies, my number two is Doctor Strangelove.
Doctor Strangelove.
Have you ever seen that?
No.
Did you say something, Casey?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I said no. I have not seen Doctor Strangelove.
You should see it. I know. It's really funny. A friend of mine on Facebook sent me a clip from like a really funny scene.
Yeah.
And it made me want to rewatch the whole thing because it's so funny. It's so good. And it's so timeless.
Yeah.
There's like a scene, a lot of it takes place in like the like war room of the president.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, the dialogue is so funny. It's sort of like The Office, where it's like you imagine things going professionally and everyone being like really good at crisis management. And then it all is just like really like awkward and goofy and like people are embarrassing each other and oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Okay, I'll watch it. I wonder if it's on HBO Max.
It might be. Are all the other Kubrick films on there?
I don't know. It's a good question.
It's a Kubrick.
Yeah.
It's a good one. It's just like a good, well-shot, pretty film.
It's a Cuber. Yeah.
My number one is called Z. It's a foreign movie.
Z.
Yeah. It's, I think, Algerian or something like that.
Wow.
It's like about an assassination or something, but it just does a lot of really cool technical things that I've never seen. Even today, other movies do. It's a narrative film, so it's not a documentary or anything, but they like do really cool flashbacks and like do really interesting things with editing and camera work.
Are we talking the 1969 film by the title The Letter Z?
Yes.
Wow.
It's great.
Cool.
I'm pretty sure it's on Criterion if you have the app.
Well, that should be, I mean, we just talked about it. We just got done talking about it, but I think HBO Max has a lot of Criterion stuff.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe it's on there.
It might be on there.
Casey, thank you so much for listening to my top five.
You're very welcome.
A lot of time curating that list.
Did you really?
No.
Okay.
But
okay, very good.
It was fun. It was fun to think about. So, Casey, I'll see you next time when we're going to be talking about a new trailer that we'll watch, and then we'll talk about it.
I love that idea, Kyle.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. I'll see you in the next one. Thanks for listening.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.